Hey, this is a hymn sing, so welcome to the hymn sing. Welcome to the service. Does anybody have a hymn that they would like to sing at the hymn sing? Yes, sir. 130. Here we go. Verse 4? Just okay, just two verses. Yeah. All right, cool. Okay, who wants to sing a hymn next?
This is my father's one.
Your favorite hymn. Yes, sir. 380. What verses?
Good morning.
We'll do first
1 and 5. 1 and 5. Okay. 380, 1 and 5.
Good morning.
Hey, it's good to be back from vacation. We found out you could, from Minnesota, my brother's up there, and so we found out you could fill balloons up with water and they'd freeze in about an hour. And so they made decorations with them. I call them a Minnesota bowling ball. Hey, does anybody have another song they'd like to sing? Yes, ma'am.
3, 8, 1, and 5.
Oh, we just did that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I made a mistake on that.
But 380 again. Okay. I thought it was a little off before. I thought that was just another version or something. So I'm kind of like, hey, I didn't grow up with that, but I'll just kind of go along with it, you know. Oh, that's okay. I think it's pretty cool. All right, does anybody have any others? Maybe we could do 380 verses 2 through 4. No, I'm just kidding. Anybody got one? Yes, ma'am. 5:12 verses 1 and 2. All right, 5:12 verses 1 and 2. And a bright morning star. All right, does anybody have another one? Yes, sir.
5:11.
5:11. 1 and 4. 5:11 verses 1 and 4. It's time to get started. Everybody, we're glad you're here. It's good to be back from Minnesota and warm California, where the only snow I see is like far away on the mountains. So I kind of like that. So please sign in a red pad if you're a guest, and leave your slip in a red folder. Some birthdays. You want to do birthdays?
Yeah. All February birthdays. May you have all the joy your heart can hold, all the smiles a day can bring, all the blessings a life can unfold, and may you feel God's love in this new birthday year. Carol, Sharon, Phillips, Mary, happy birthday.
Pretty good.
I do that. February newsletter is available in the narthex. And please contact the office if you want to switch it to email or something like that other than being mailed. We need contributions to support our two Common Hope-sponsored children in Guatemala. If you can help with a donation over and above your regular giving, please mark it for Common Hope. Thank you. Bible study with Dina Barwick on Zoom, Encounters of Jesus Through the Eyes of Mark, Mondays, January 13th through March 3rd, 5 to 6:30 p.m. local Pacific time. So yeah, email her to sign up. The email address is down there at the bottom. Next pastor's luncheon will take place March 12 at noon at Legend Aid China in Cala Mesa. The cost is $15. Please let us know if you're coming. You may sign up in the sign-up sheet on the scripts table in the fellowship hall or call the church office. Please stand for the, if you're able.
Before I forget, I'm sometimes forgetful. I have one important announcement to make. Guess what it is? It may come next. Yeah. We are going to have a charge conference on the 2nd of March. That's the first Sunday of March, right? Let me make sure I got that date correctly. 2nd of March. We need to make a decision and approve the leasing of the education building. District superintendent approved it. District committee approved it. I mean, we've been through a lot. The Ed Council approved it, trustees approved it, and then went to the district level. And then we need to finalize it at the charge conference. So what I am thinking is that as you go to the fellowship hall, you may not be a member of the conference, which is usually those who are serving the Ad Council. Doesn't matter. You can all go to the fellowship hall for fellowship, and we will have a brief session, an open and close, and it won't take that long. So we will conduct the charge conference right after the worship on March 2nd. And finalize it. I will share more about it. I've been sharing about this, what's going on in the leasing opportunity we have, but I'll probably repeat again and then share more on my next newsletter. So praise God for this opportunity. It's finalized it, and it's happening, and I'm so happy about that.
Keep me safe.
Okay, hang on. Yeah, please stand if you're able for the call to worship.
Keep me safe, O God, I've run for dear life to you.
I say to God, be my Lord. Without you, nothing makes sense.
My choice is you, God first and only, and now I find I'm your choice.
Day and night, I'll stick with God. I've got a good thing going, and I'm not letting go.
Please sing hymn number 545, verses 1 through 3.
The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ alone. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came in sorrow to be his holy bride. With his son blood he bore.
Take the time to pass a piece. Joys and concerns will follow, and Zoom can unmute to speak. Amen.
All right, let us recognize and welcome all those who have come to join us, join our worship via Zoom. We have Helen. If you remember Ed Elliott, he was 106 when he passed, and I called him the oldest Methodist in the world. And I think it may not be the official, but I'd like to call Helen, our dear Helen, the old Methodist in the world.
Stand straight. There we go. Good job.
And if you haven't seen her, she drove like a teenager. So welcome, Helen, and welcome, June and Joy. So good to see you. And George is with us. Welcome, George. Bill and April, please remember Bill in your prayers. He's going to have a surgery on his hip in April. And welcome, David. Welcome, Brian, Jean, and Kristen and Alicia. And I'd like to also recognize Josh. Josh, today is going to be his last Sunday with us. He's moving to Seattle. And we pray God's blessing upon him. And pray that God's going to open a lot of doors of new opportunities for him. Okay.
Just a reminder to the pastor, you shouldn't refer to Helen as the oldest. It's the most senior.
I'll correct that.
Okay.
Yes.
Good morning. You notice that Sophie and Lorene are not here. She is, with everything that's been going on, she has been stressed out, and she is just catching up. She just needed to get as much rest as possible. On Tuesday, the week before, she had had to have a whole lot of blood tests. She had 12 capsules, or whatever you call it, drawn, and some of them were very large. So anyway, we were home one day in the morning, and her phone rang, and it was the doctor's office, and her doctor, her designated physician, wanted to talk to her about her blood test results. And she said to me, well, this can't be good. So anyway, the doctor got on the phone and told her that do not take any vaccines, boosters, or anything. Says your blood test came back 100%. You couldn't have a better immune system. Says, so that was a wonderful surprise.
Wow.
And Thursday was the big day for all the scans. And remember, it says 4 to 4.5 hours. She did it before last June. She was supposed to get it done to October, but with all the delays and everything, we didn't get it done till this past Thursday. And when we did it the last June, they had to take some of the scans. There's 4 different scans that she had to have. Would take her in right there at where the imaging services are, and then they would have to take her for the brain scans to another part of the hospital, to a different facility there. So we're going there and wondering how things are going to go. And she told you the last time she was here that she was going through all this trying to call and get scheduled for her scans. And she had to deal with the girls that answered the phone at the center there at imaging. And she got to know all of them by first name basis. And she said to one of the girls one day, she says, I'm sure that when you hear that it's Lorene, that you say, well, here we go again. And they said, no, no, no. She says, we actually cry because we know you need to be scheduled, and the doctor that has to order it can't get it right. So anyway, we get there, and we're kind of excited. Okay, we're going to get this done today. And I took a crossword puzzle and some snacks and everything. So they called her. Her appointment was 1:45, and they called her in at 2 o'clock. And she had, before she went in, she had made a bear for all 5 of the call center girls. So we got there early, and they called from the office there to the call center, and they couldn't all leave, but 3 of them came down, and she presented each one with one of her favorite famous bears, the teddy bears. Oh, they were crying, and everything was going on. And then later on, the other 2 came down, and she explained to them, I won't go through it now because I don't want to be up here all morning. The purpose of the bears was comfort bears for children that have been in trauma. Maybe a parent was killed. And she gave the bears to the police and firemen to give to the kids. Well, all the girls, they were crying. Lorene was crying. My eyes were teary. And even the people waiting to get scanned in there were crying. So we went through all of that, and they were just ecstatic about having their own bears. So at 2 o'clock, they called her to go in. So I'm getting all ready to start on my crossword and all that. She comes out in 2:45 and she says, I'm done. I says, okay, now do you go to the other place to get the rest of it? She says, no, I'm completely done. I says, how did they do all that in 45 minutes? And the girl, the technician came out, she says, last week, we just got a new machine. We don't have to do anything. We program in what we want and it does it all.
Oh, wow.
And the up-looking person that Lorene is, she says, if it hadn't been for all those delays, I wouldn't have been taking it with the new machine. I would have had to go through the other. So she always looks on the positive side. So thank you. She's going on Tuesday to see the eye surgeon about having her glaucoma surgery. But we are so relieved. But she is wore out. So I'm sure we'll see her next Sunday. Thank you.
Good morning. I just wanted to share, I wanted to follow up. I know Spo had mentioned that I was going through some tribulations at work, and it's funny how God has a way of intervening, but the person, the CEO, has been put on admin leave, and she's under investigation for other reasons, not my complaint, but for some financial stuff. So, amen.
Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hi, this is Judy. I'd like continued prayers for Lance Alford. I said last week he had a lesion on his brain. When his wife told me about it, she said that it's not actually on his brain. It's like in between the brain and the skull or something. But his appointment was for March 5th, and they moved it up to the 18th, Tuesday. So we're hoping that, and crossing our fingers, that it isn't as bad, because when they move something up, it isn't always a good sign. But he's going to see a really renowned neurologist up in L.A., so continued prayers for him. And I do have a joy. I get to go have lunch with my little grandson today, so thank you.
And let us continue our prayers for our lovely Rachel. Rachel, she's a fighter, so more powers to you, and continue to remember Dan in your prayers, that medication may work for him, that everything may be all under control, that he can continue to be strong. So pray for healing upon Dan.
Please join us for our unison prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly acknowledge that we often place our own desires before you instead of seeking your perfect will. We confess that we have followed you with a half-hearted obedience rather than fully trusting in your wisdom and goodness. Shape our hearts so we may offer you our very best. Grant us discernment to understand your purpose and the courage to walk in it willingly. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence. We have many in our life circle God has given unto us. Let's bring our prayers for them, and let's also offer our prayers for ourselves in silence. Lord Jesus, as we come to you in silent prayer, we hear you. We hear your voice speaking to us. We ask you to bless us with your Holy Spirit so that we may know your will, we may know your purpose for us. You work in many different ways that we may not recognize your way of operation. So we need your Holy Spirit to enable us to see how you operate in our lives. So we ask your Holy Spirit to be present in our hearts and in our lives. We often wonder about unanswered prayers. We often doubt about your presence, your involvement in our lives, and we often doubt that you are not there for us. But it is just that you are invisible. Your way of operation is different from us. So we ask your wisdom and discernment in our prayer life, O Lord, so that we may be able to see your love, your faithfulness, your invisible guiding hand, that we may appreciate you and draw closer to you. So, Lord, we open our hearts this morning. We open our lives that your Holy Spirit may come in and open our eyes and empower us in the areas of our struggle and our weakness, that we may receive courage and strength from your presence this morning, O Lord. We may have some unsettled questions in our lives, but, O Lord, we come to you as we trust in your powerful name, acknowledging that you have everything under your control. So we submit ourselves and our loved ones into your care once more and ask you to continue to rule over our lives as our sovereign God, as our Savior, and as our sustainer. Manifest your power unto us, O Lord, that we may experience your powerful living presence once more. Knowing that you are in our life, knowing that you have the full control, you have everything in your hand, we now come to you as we join our prayers in praying the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is called, Because I Love You. It's written by Max Lucado and illustrated by Mitchell Hines. Long ago, in a land far away and unlike any you've ever seen, there lived a wise man named Shaddai. Shaddai was a large man with a tender heart. He had bright blue eyes and a long, thick beard. When he laughed, which is something he did often, his cheeks would lift until his eyes became half moons of joy. When he sang, which is something else he did often, everything stopped to listen. Tall aspens would bend. Squirrels, butterflies, and birds would pause. Even the children would turn when they heard his voice. And well they should, for it was for them he sang. And for the children, Shaddai had built a wonderful village. It was more than any child could dream. The children plunged into the sky-blue pond. They squealed as they soared high on the swings hung from the apple tree branches. They scampered through the meadows and giggled in the orchards. The sun never seemed to set too early, and the cool night sky always brought a quiet peace. And most of all, Shaddai was always near. When Shaddai wasn't in the meadow with the children or in the orchards with the children, he was in the workshop with the children. They loved to be with him while he worked. They loved to smell the sawdust, hear him sing, and watch him carve a chair out of a log or make a table out of a tree. They would gather around him and take turns pressing their tiny hands flat against his great big one. Every night he would gather the children on the grassy meadow and tell them stories. Fascinated, the children would listen as long as Shaddai, or their weary eyes, allowed. The children loved Shaddai, and Shaddai loved the children. He knew each one by name, and he knew everything about them. He knew Lucy's love of birds. He knew Roland's fear of darkness. He knew Daphne was friendly and Spencer was shy. He knew Paladin was curious. When one of them called his name, he dropped whatever he was doing and turned. His giant heart had 100 strings, each held by a different child, and Shaddai loved each one the same. That's why he built the wall. The wall was a high stone fence surrounding the village. Shaddai had built it, rock upon rock. The wall was so tall it stood high above Shaddai. Even if he stretched his arms as high as he could, he still couldn't touch the top of the wall. He spent days building it, and as he built, he did not sing. A deadly forest stood outside the village. As Shaddai built the fence, he would often pause and look into the shadows beyond. Cruel thorns and savage beasts and hidden pits filled the dark forest. It was no place for the children Shaddai loved. Beyond the wall is danger, he would tell the children in solemn tones. You were made for my village, not for the terrible land beyond. Stay with me. It is safe here. But in his heart, he knew it was only a matter of time. The day he placed the final stone on the wall, he returned to his shop, took a long aspen branch, and sat down at his bench and carved a staff. Shaddai stood the staff at the corner. I'll be ready, he told himself. Sometime later, a boy ran into Shaddai's workshop. The sandy-haired child with searching eyes and restless energy brought the maker both joy and concern. Shaddai! In one motion, the maker dropped his hammer and turned. What is it, Paladin? The boy spoke in spurts as he gasped for air. The wall. I found a hole. It's a big opening, sir. The boy's hand stretched to show the size. Someone could crawl through it. Shaddai pulled over a stool and sat down. I knew it would be you, Paladin, my child. Tell me, how did you find it? I was walking along the wall searching for... holes? Paladin paused, surprised that Shaddai knew. Yes, I was looking for holes. So you could see out into the forest? I was curious, Shaddai. I wanted to know why you won't let us go out there. Why is it so bad? Shaddai motioned for the boy to come to him. When Paladin came near, the maker cupped the small face in his hands and lifted it so the boy would look directly into his eyes. The urgency of the look caused Paladin's stomach to feel empty. Paladin, listen to me. The lands out there are not for you. They are not for me. A journey into the forest will hurt you. You were not made for those lands. Let your feet carry you to the many places you can go, not to the one place you can't. If you leave here, you will not find the way back. Paladin spoke softly. You will fix the hole then? No, Paladin. I created the hole because I love you so much. But you just said you don't want us to leave. I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay with me. But I did make the opening when I built the wall.
that if you don't fix it, said Paladin, the children might leave. I know, Paladin, but I want the children to stay because they want to, not because they have to. Paladin didn't understand. Uncomfortable, he turned to leave. He needed to think about what Shaddai had said. As he entered the sunlight, he looked back into the shop. There sat Shaddai, leaning backward, still watching. Paladin was confused. Part of him wanted the safety of Shaddai's shop, while another part drew him toward the fence. He looked again into the shop. Shaddai was standing now, not moving, but standing. His large hand stretched out to the boy. Paladin turned quickly away, as if he hadn't seen. He walked as fast as he could, aimlessly at first, and then purposely toward the fence. I won't get too near, he said to himself. I'll just peek out. Questions came as quickly as his steps. Why do I want to do what Shaddai doesn't want me to do? Why am I so curious? Is it so wrong to want to see beyond the fence? By now, Paladin was at the hole. Without stopping to think, he lay on his stomach and squirmed through just far enough to stick his head out the other side. I'll just take a quick look, he told himself. What could be wrong with that? Shaddai said he made the hole because he loved us. I wonder what he's keeping from me. As if his knees were moving on their own, Paladin crawled farther. Soon he was through the hole and on the outside of the wall. He rose slowly to his feet. For several moments he didn't move. He wondered if something would come out of the trees to hurt him. Nothing did. He relaxed his shoulders and sighed. It's not so bad, he said aloud. It's nice out here. What was Shaddai so worried about? Paladin began walking into the forest. Twigs snapped beneath his bare feet. Sweet flowers scented the air. I don't see any scary creatures, he thought. The trees were so thick he could barely see the sky. Just a few steps into the woods, he said aloud, to see what it's like. After a dozen more steps, he stopped. He liked the wilderness. Nothing to fear here. For the first time in his young life, he believed that Shaddai was wrong. Just wait until I tell the others. And he turned to go back through the hole. But the hole was gone. He stopped and stared. He only saw a solid wall. Paladin ran to the wall. Was this the spot he had crawled through, or was it somewhere else? He couldn't remember. He ran a dozen steps one way and then a dozen steps the other. Nothing. Suddenly, he heard a strange sound in the woods behind him. He swung around, but he saw nothing. Paladin looked into the forest. Now it no longer seemed friendly. It was dark and threatening, as if it were about to destroy him. Desperately, Paladin searched the wall. He couldn't climb over. He couldn't break through. There was no way home. If you leave here, you will not find the way back, Shaddai's words rang in his mind. The boy's eyes were wide with fear. He sat on the ground and hugged his knees to his chest and began to cry. As Paladin huddled there, lonely and afraid, he remembered something else Shaddai had often said. I love you so much. Does he love me enough to come and find me, wondered the boy. Will he hear me if I call to him? Shaddai, Shaddai, I am so sorry I didn't listen to you. Please come help me. Paladin's plea had been heard by the one who loved him, even before it was spoken. For as the boy left Shaddai's workshop, the maker had watched him as long as he could. When Paladin was out of sight, Shaddai turned, not to take up his work, but to remove his apron. He hung his tools on the wall, and then he reached into the corner and took the staff, the one he'd carved after he finished the wall. Even before Paladin had reached the wall, Shaddai had left the shop. Even before Paladin had asked for help, Shaddai was on the way to give it. Even before the hole in the wall had closed, Shaddai had opened another. His strong hands pulled away the rocks until he could see into the forest, and with his staff at his side, Shaddai crawled through the hole. He left the village he'd made and set out to search for the child. The end. Our human nature can often cause us to go down the wrong path and even get in deeper than we expected. But neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:39. May we always be grateful for God's forgiveness that's endless. Amen.
Please sing In the Garden, number 314.
Luke 11:1-13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, may your name be verb as holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. Forgive, for we ourselves forgive everyone debited to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I'll tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything out of friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, it, and it will be given to you. Search, and you'll find, knock, and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, would give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, would you give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Amen. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thanks be to God. Great job, Katie. Good morning. So glad to see you all and worship together in this beautiful sanctuary. And I pray once more that we will have a special visit from the Holy Spirit, that we may be assured of his presence, and especially that he answers our prayers. A father took his little six-year-old boy fishing with him one day. They put out the line and then went up to the cabin. After an hour, they went back down to the river to see if they had caught anything. Sure enough, there were several fish on the line. The boy said, "I knew there would be, Daddy." The father asked, "How did you know?" He replied, "Because I pray about it." So they baited the hooks again and put out the line and went back to the cabin for supper. Afterwards, they went back to the river. Again, there were fish on the line. The boy said, "I knew it." The father said, "How?" "I prayed again." So they put the line back into the river and went to the cabin. Before bedtime, they went down again. This time, there were no fish. The child said, "I knew there wouldn't be." And the father asked, "How did you know?" The boy said, "Because I didn't pray this time." The father asked, "And why didn't you pray?" And the boy said, "Because I remembered we forgot to bait the hooks." "Please, Lord, let me catch fish" is the kind of prayer we usually bring to the Lord. In most cases, our requests are related to the areas of sustenance. We need this, we need that. There's nothing wrong in asking the Lord for things we need. As we reflected together last Sunday, God is our sustainer, not us. God knows and meets our need, which is the very reason that we do not have to worry about anything. We can be absolutely sure that God answers our prayers. When we ask for God's intervention in our problems, God is ready to engage in our struggles. The problem is, we often feel like our prayers are not answered. This morning, we will look into how we should understand unanswered prayers and the critical role of the Holy Spirit in discerning the way God answers our prayers, to which we do not pay attention as we should. Firstly, let us look at the promise of Jesus to answer prayers. In John 14:14, Jesus said, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Jesus repeated the same word in John 16:23 and 24. "Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Jesus often repeated words to emphasize his point. Here, Jesus begins with, "Very truly, I tell you." A more literal translation of that phrase is, "Truly, truly, I tell you." In Greek, "Amen, amen, I tell you." A double amen meant that Jesus was very serious about promising to answer prayers. Now, we often misunderstand the part "ask anything" in prayer. It does not mean that we can ask whatever and God will do it, but understand the phrase with what comes next. "Ask anything in my name." Praying in Jesus' name is not just a formal prayer ending. Praying in Jesus' name signifies that what we ask need to be in line with Jesus' name. Remember the third commandment? "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Names held enormous significance and reflected people's identity, character, and dignity in the ancient Judaism. Even today, Jews do not dare to read the name Jehovah, but read it as Adonai, which means the Lord. For example, Psalm 23 is written, "Jehovah is my shepherd," but they read it as "Adonai, the Lord is my shepherd." And our English translation goes with that. We translate it, "The Lord is my shepherd." Asking something in Jesus' name is supposed to agree with Jesus and his will. Jesus has promised to answer any prayer in this manner. John, one of the very close disciples to Jesus, interpreted this word of Jesus accurately and said in his letter in 1 John 5:14 and 15, he said, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will," anything according to his will, "he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him." Let us look at Jesus' short story to illustrate prayer from the same perspective. Someone had a guest who came to him in the middle of the night. He went to his friend and woke him up while his friend was sound asleep. He asked not one but three loaves of bread. His friend told him he was inconsiderate and not a good friend. But because of his shameless audacity, that's what the NIV translate for persistence. Because of shameless audacity, his friend got up and gave him as much as he needed. Jesus spoke of the certainty of receiving answers to our prayer, for Jesus is our friend and knows our need. We may not feel quite adequate to ask Jesus, or our prayers may not make sense, just like the guy who bothered his friend in ludicrous manners. But we can count on Jesus to answer even the kind of flawed prayers. Why then do we feel like our prayers are not answered? The truth of the matter is, there is no such thing as unanswered prayers. Unanswered prayers are our misunderstanding about the way God answers our prayers. What and why do we misunderstand? God operates on his watch, and we often forget about it. Some prayers are answered right at the moment without hesitation because what we ask is in sync with God's timing. A lot of times, we must patiently wait for God's opportune time and persevere until God's time arrives. And what a wonderful and perfect testimony that Ron has just shared. I used to have a prayer list that I kept in my Bible. When God answers prayer, I marked with a date. I observed that some prayers were answered quickly and some prayers took years to receive answers. Running life on our clock is our preference, but not necessarily favorable. God's timing may seem to delay answering prayers, but it does not suggest the inactivity of God. Another misunderstanding has to do with God gives us something different from what we ask. Like our children, we do not always ask what is best for us. Our children sometimes ask for a scorpion, but we parents know they need an egg instead. They sometimes ask for a snake when they need a fish. God knows what is better and gives good gifts to his children. About 8 years ago, I contacted about 24 cell tower companies to install a cell tower in our parking lot and generate extra revenue. A couple of companies showed interest, but after the land survey of this area, they decided that there were already too many cell towers around. Last year, my pastor friend gave me contact info for a nonprofit organization that ran daycare. With God's providence and perfect timing, the state of California approved the organization for a new site in the San Bernardino area. Shortly after that, they contacted back to me. They will renovate the entire education building at their expense. And on top of that, the church will generate over $66,000 a year, every year. Isn't that amazing? This lease opportunity is much better than having a cell tower, I realize. God knows what is best and gives us different things as he sees fit, but undoubtedly better things. John Calvin, a famed French theologian who influenced the establishment of Presbyterian and Congregational churches in North America, once said, "God has a right to distinguish what we actually need." When God does not satisfy specific prayer requests the way we want, we mistakenly think God does not answer our prayers. We ask God to change our circumstances, not knowing that God wants us to be in particular circumstances. That is why it is essential to find God's will when we pray. Instead of just pleading to let God know our need, it is often the case that prayer does not change our circumstances, but our perspective. James Robertson Jr. posts the following on Virginia's public radio's website. In the spring of 1864, battle exploded on the outskirts of Richmond. After the fighting ended and armies marched up to grapple elsewhere, one party came upon a Confederate soldier. He lay amid the dead in front of the battle line. Just before burying him on the field, the grave diggers made the usual search of the body. Inside the shirt pocket was a sheet of paper. On it, this common soldier, a day or so earlier, had scrawled some thoughts. They were a statement of what life meant to him. As such, the words are an everlasting testimonial to one simple human being. The soldier wrote, "I asked for strength that I might achieve. He made me weak that I might obey. I asked for health that I might do great things. He gave me grace that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. He gave me poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of man. He gave me weakness that I might feel a need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. He gave me life that I might enjoy all things. I received nothing I had asked for. He gave me all that I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am, among all men, most richly blessed." Jesus concluded his teaching on prayer by saying, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Why do we need to ask God to give us the Holy Spirit when we pray? Because we need to discern God's will with the help of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord grant us the Holy Spirit to remove the clouds of doubts on unanswered prayers and help us realize that God answers all our prayers and we are most richly blessed. Amen.
Okay, now for a presentation of our tithes and offerings.
Thank you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of leaves. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Lord Jesus Christ, you purchased each and every one of us with your precious blood. Therefore, we belong to you. We are yours. This offering is our humble acknowledgement that we belong to you, and we are here to serve you and glorify your name. We give you this offering to bless your church and the ministry of this church, and we ask you to continue to empower us in every possible way that we can be the church that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Open my eyes that I may see. 454.
Senses with your Holy Spirit that we may recognize your presence, we may see the way you answer our prayers, that we may continue to rejoice every day and continue on our journey with praises and thanksgiving as we enjoy your presence, the answers to our prayers. Give us the assurance of your love in our life, and may we hold on to the promise that you have given unto us, that when we go to you and kneel down unto you in prayer and ask you to do things in your name, you will do it. And that's the assurance we have, O Lord. confidence you have given unto us. So we ask you to bless us with this blessing of prayer. Therefore, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be afraid, God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, He will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show. God will be there, watching from above. Go now in peace, in faith.